You're listening to Atheistically Speaking.
Hey, welcome to episode 22 of Atheistically Speaking. I'm Thomas, and this episode, we're going to be continuing our discussion from Monday with the Cognitive Dissonance Fellas. It was a very good talk, and on this episode, we finally got to what we intended to talk about all along, which was how to have a relationship with a religious person and if that's feasible. Before I get to that, I just want to thank the guys again very much for coming on the show. The conversation was everything I could have hoped for and more. I really don't know that there's another podcast I've heard that had such a mix of humor and insight. I'm not flattering just myself. I'm trying to flatter the guys in with that. It was a lot of fun. So without further ado, here's the rest of that conversation. I think this goes right into our topic of having relationship with someone who's religious and how that works.
Yeah, I mean, I think it absolutely does. And I think the human aspect of this is really important.
Can you go ahead and set the a little bit of backstory?
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm actually married to someone who's a believer. I met my wife. We met in 97, I think. 97. And we were at a party and we argued about religion the entire night. She was a Catholic back then. She was a full blown Roman Catholic, went to church every week. You know, the whole nine yards. When we were dating, she was at church every week as well. And very, very devout. You know, we respected each other's boundaries. We also respected each other's sort of evolution as believers and non-believers, because at that point I was pretty agnostic. I didn't think one way or the other, nor did I care much either way. And as time goes on, and you can tell that I became more and more atheist, and that evolution sort of came out. My wife, on the other hand, she was religious up for about, I want to say it was maybe 6 or 7 years into our marriage, and then she had a conversation with one of her priests, and the conversation went something like this. My wife and I had decided that we were not going to have children. We were married in a Catholic church. My wife and I both got married in a Catholic church. We married each other in a Catholic church, not separate people. And religion was part of her life, and she went every week, and I would, you know, our Sundays were very different. She would wake up in the morning and go to church, and I would not. I, of course, went on, like Tom was saying, Christmas and Easter. I was a Christmas and Easter guy who would go because I went there to support my wife on these important religious holidays, because I thought it was, you know, my duty as a husband to be there for her. And so I did it, and I had no qualms about it. It didn't bother me that I was in a religious place when I was not religious. And then what happened was, is that her priest had said to her, she had said that we weren't going to have children, and her priest said, well, then you guys should get an annulment because your marriage is not recognized anymore by the church, because you clearly have the ability to have children, but you're not going to do it, and that's sort of a sin, and we don't like that. And so immediately my wife started thinking about it really shocked her, and it really, really hurt her very badly that they would turn their back on her like this. And she started thinking about it more and more, and started thinking about just religion in general. That sort of shook her. Not being around me, none of the stuff about being around me or hearing me talk about other things changed her viewpoint at all. What changed it more was being around people that were supposed to be her allies and then having them turn on her. And so she started thinking about it more and more. And my wife's religion has sort of evolved now too. She's no longer a Catholic. She is more what she would call, I think, a deist or a pantheist. She's not someone who thinks of, you know, God as like a, you know, like I said earlier, like that image of God is doesn't make any sense to her either. So instead it's more, like you said, like a deist. I think that's more what her religious viewpoint is now. But it's evolved over time. And I think the most important thing between in our relationship that's kept us together is that we respect each other's beliefs, and I belittle them or make fun of them in a way, or her in a way. And she recognizes the difference between her and, like Tom was saying, a belief, right? So you can have problems with someone's belief, but not have a problem with them, or think that they're dumb, or think that they're a bad person. And so there's been this sort of respect and separation that has kept us together for a long time.
Wow.
We've been together now. We've been married at this point now. We've been married. We'll be celebrating our 14th wedding anniversary this June.
Wow. Man, I don't know where to start. I have so many questions and thoughts on that. It's really cool, for one. I do think that's cool. And I guess I'm just amazed. And for one thing, first off, like we were talking about earlier, thinking a belief is dumb, but not thinking the believer of it is dumb. Well, then I wonder at a certain point, and I'm scared because I'm not trying to say you should think your wife is dumb, but
yeah,
but at a certain point, what would qualify as being something that would make you think someone was dumb? I mean, what is it but the beliefs they have and the way they go about life? Now, I understand. I'm sure there are tons of other respects that you would witness, you know, things in her life, aspects of her life, the way she carries herself about, that you would conclude, okay, this is a smart person. She just has her reasons that she believes this. I understand that. But when you're talking about maybe not someone you intimately have knowledge of, have carnal knowledge, someone you have knowledge of, when you're talking about, like, because definitely liberals don't do this when it comes to Republicans. I mean, liberals that I am around do nothing but talk about how stupid, you know, Republicans are. Fox News, they're so dumb. Everyone is so dumb. And in that sense, they don't differentiate. They don't tend to differentiate beliefs from believers. And maybe they're wrong. I'm not trying to say that means, you know, they're right. But I just wonder, what do you think about that?
Well, I think, you know, I normally don't go into conversations or think about people in the sense of their intelligence level. I guess that just doesn't ever really come out, or their ability to put together certain parts of reality. It just doesn't. I mean, I think of people in a sense, whether they're good people or not a good person. And I think that that's how I normally judge a person's character.
Sure. I mean, I think you kind of brought up the part of thinking someone's dumb, separating beliefs for the, you know, like I understand that wouldn't be the first thing I think of a person either. I agree with you there. But if you were thinking of that question, if you happen to be thinking, like, in general, is someone who's religious, like, do I think this person's intelligent? Do I not?
I think that, you know, you're discounting if you think someone is not smart because they're religious or whatever. I think you're discounting their past, because, again, they wind up growing up indoctrinated into something that they don't really have a lot of choice in. You know, there's a reason why I didn't marry a Muslim girl, and it's because she grew up in a predominantly Christian area.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, she grew up in a Roman Catholic household. She didn't happen to grow up in a Protestant household. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of background and a lot of things like that that go into people's belief systems that, you know, that we can't really suss out even after knowing them for a very long time. So, so it's hard for me to even make that distinction. And I normally don't try to make that distinction. Like I said, I work with a guy right now who has a PhD in theology, who is a believer, who's one of the smartest guys I've ever met.
Absolutely.
I mean,
he really is
a very intelligent person. And when I don't know that if I could argue atheism to even remotely convince him of any of it, because he's so much smarter than I am.
Yeah.
But I feel like, that, you know, I can't judge his beliefs and say, well, you clearly, you know, don't know much about the universe if you think there's a God.
Yeah, I want to speak to something real quick, Thomas. It's, you know, there's an idea, like, I think there's a hubris that kind of floats around, and maybe this is a separate topic, but that floats around the atheist community that the atheist stance is a more intelligent stance than a belief stance, because you know, atheists have, you know, don't have a belief in a supernatural deity or whatever, that they're all smarter than the. And I'm not saying that
that's kind of a straw man. Yeah,
I'm not saying that you're saying this, but you see it all the time within the community. You see it all the time within the community. You know, like and like little belittling things, like, you know, stop believing and start thinking. Like, you know, that sort of presumes that believers are not thoughtful people. And I'm not saying that you're saying that. I know that you're not saying that.
Well, if you ever – I think you either have to take the stance that you're never going to insult anyone's intelligence, like whether it be Republican. Well, then you can make no distinction then. If you're going on what you've said, which is that it has to do with how they've been brought up or some other factors that you're not aware of and that's why they believe what they believe – fine, I agree, but then you would have to apply that to anything, and there would be no.
But not everything has as much weight on it as religion does. The thing you have to remember is that whether or not I'm prejudiced doesn't rely on my eternal soul being in hell, right? I mean, like there's a lot weighing on this decision that we're, I think, flippantly sort of throwing away and saying, and I, gosh, I sound like a fucking goddamn. What are you making me sound like an apologist for, you asshole? Jesus. No, but seriously, like, I think that there's a lot more weighing on that decision than we're giving credit for. There's a lot of people who –
Well, then I almost think that goes toward what I'm saying. I mean, sorry, I'll let you go on.
No, go ahead. I mean, clearly if I'm wrong, I want to know why. So,
well, I don't think you're wrong, but I just think that if we're talking about – all I was talking about is because you brought up not thinking, you know, someone is dumb based on their belief or separating beliefs from the believer in terms of thinking someone is dumb or calling them unintelligent. And all I was saying is I don't know what other criteria you could use other than someone's beliefs as a whole, not necessarily just their religious belief. If you ever were going to call anyone unintelligent, I don't know what else you could use other than what they say they believe, what they do, what they, you know, like, I don't know how to separate that from them is all the only point I was trying to make.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how you would separate it either. I mean, I think that, you know, clearly, I guess I just don't think about it that way either.
That's fair.
I don't think
that's
about,
that's
yeah.
fair. Yeah. So maybe it was kind of a red herring in all of this. Maybe okay. It wasn't. Maybe I picked too much into that, and it wasn't.
Maybe I did too. It's a possibility.
I didn't. I fucking understood it perfectly. Yeah.
When it comes to atheists being sort of arrogant as regards intelligence, I do see that as a problem. I think that's an interesting thing to recognize. So I think I cut you off. So if you wanted to say any more of that, please elaborate.
I just want to make that distinction that, like, you know, you said, like, how can you decide if somebody is intelligent, you know, without looking at sort of what do they believe? I think you can do that by looking at what they think. And I know that that's a dickhead sort of rhetorical thing to say. So I'm gonna pause for a second and recognize that. But, you know, to Cecil's previous point, our beliefs oftentimes they come with so much fear instilled within them, right? So
yeah.
You know, you get this human being who's got, you know, 20 years. So let's say you meet somebody when they're 25 or 30, and they've got 20 years plus of indoctrination into a belief set that has consequences like heaven and hell, real consequences like heaven and hell. And they've had that indoctrinated in them for 18 or 20 years. And then you meet this person and, you know, you're in your late 20s or early 30s and you meet this person and, you know, this person is got this one belief that to me or to you, we can't get there from here. And I cannot get to a believer's mindset from where I sit today. I can't cross that gap. But that's because I wasn't raised that way. Like, part of that reason for me is I never believed in heaven and hell. I was never afraid that my eternal soul, there are no real stakes in
it. Well, were
me.
You, I was actually always raised to be religious. So that's curious. Were you not even, had no religion in your household at all?
We were raised Methodist, but only marginally Methodist, you know, like. We never talked about it at home. We went to church once or twice a week, but the Methodists don't talk about God, or they don't talk about hell, rather.
Right.
They don't, there's no fear within it. It's a, you know, the Methodists, like, the joke is like, you know, come to the church, there's plenty of work to do. Like, the Methodists are, they subscribe to this sort of Protestant work ethic idea that if you just show up and do good things, that eventually good shit happens when you die or what have you. Sure. It's a very sort of not fire and brimstone kind of a thing. So it's super easy to shrug off because it's, like, it's just nice people being nice to each other and then having a pig roast, you know, like that's the whole of it. I never once had anybody talk to me about hell, for example.
Sure. And I didn't either.
I never entered into the equation.
I don't think hell is all that big of a concern with a lot of religious people. It sort of depends on the denomination. So, yeah.
You know, so if I'm going to look at somebody, I think the thing to do is not to say, well, they've got this belief and the vast majority in this country have this belief. And I cannot discount the vast majority of the people in this country. So I have to acknowledge and say there's got to be something else going on here. There's got to be something about this particular belief that is bigger than the other belief sets, right? Because, like, I will tell you that it's a fucking litmus test for me if you believe in certain things. And I've said this on the show. Like, if you come up to me and you want to fucking talk to me about demons and shit, like, I've got nothing left to talk to you about. We are fucking done here. Thank you. Like, drop the mic. I'm out. I can't do it. But that's – if you're just, like, the guy across the street and you happen to be religious – okay. I mean, once you start talking about demons, we got to roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because and there's a spectrum. It's important to distinguish which realm we're kind of dealing with, as we did earlier. Like, I do agree with that. I mean, I agree with it. Socially, there's practical considerations to make always. I just and the thing about the neighbor, what we were talking about earlier, in a philosophical sense and as far as what views I want to promote, I just want to promote the views that are consistent with reason. And so, but when we talk about this problem in the atheist community of feeling like we're more intelligent, I do agree. I think, because I often do this, I think about this within my own family. It just so happens to be that all the men are atheists and all the women are religious in my family. And not just religious, like quite Catholic. And I think about that often because it's, I mean, in many respects, we had the same upbringing. I mean, not in all respects, of course, but we grew up in the same house and had the same parents, like genes. And I sort of wonder, like, I don't think it's an intelligence thing. I think my sister is incredibly smart. I do agree that that's not the question. I don't think it's a question of intelligence, but there's a certain psychology to it, I think. I think there's like a need for certain things that she has that I don't have. And it's possibly that's what, you know, that's what did it. I don't know. It would be impossible to, of course, pinpoint it. Exactly.
No, you know, Thomas, I think that's an interesting thing. I think some people do feel a need. You know, I know that that people have asked me, like, well, don't, you know, kind of like a sort of like, well, what do you replace it with? Question, you know, like if you don't have God, you know, like what do you like replace that empty part of your soul with? And like, I don't have an empty part of myself, you know, and like I've made jokes about that a lot, but like I don't feel less than because I don't believe in this thing. But I think other people, like a big part of their life is filled with whatever it is that religion does for them. And so, you know, removing religion from them is not just changing. You know, well, I think Ford's better than GMC. Like, it's not just a casual sort of change. You've got a lot riding on that.
But go ahead.
I was going to say, when my wife left the church, it was very traumatic. Mm. There was a lot of very difficult times we went through together because, you know, I'm her husband. And I'm not going through it, but she is clearly going through it. Where she needed a social support structure that she did not have anymore. There's a lot more to church socially that you just don't have when you're non-religious. And she's non-religious now. She doesn't go anywhere on Sundays, right? She doesn't, you know, she doesn't go to a place and pray and do any of that stuff anymore. But she used to, and that was a really important part of her life. And it's it really was a traumatic sort of leaving of the religion that was difficult. And I totally see what Tom's saying there.
Yeah, well, yes, but I do think that could happen with an atheist who left some sort of community they were involved in that wasn't necessarily an atheist-based community. I think that people are going to have a tough time leaving something that they know, regardless of whether.
Sure.
So right. So no. Well, the only the reason I make that distinction is because I think Tom brought it up as saying that religious people might have this deeper need in that, you know, Tom doesn't necessarily have. So And then you sort of brought that up as evidence of that. And I'm just saying, it's not necessarily evidence of that. It could just be anyone who leaves a community, they're of course going to be very distraught about leaving that community.
Right. But you're brought up with that community as your whole life. I mean, it's something that's reinforced throughout years and years and years and years of indoctrination.
Right.
She didn't, you know, she certainly didn't choose to go to church as a young girl. She was brought to church as a young girl. And then eventually that became her habit on her own when she left the home. So clearly it meant a lot to her.
Yeah.
And it meant enough to her that so when she was in college away from home, she still went to church. So, you know, I understand that. But it's like imagine if your parents put you in karate when you were three and you had karate your whole life and then just stopped going. You would lose. That would be equally traumatic.
That's exactly. Point I'm making.
Yeah,
and the only reason I made that point is because the karate thing is separate from the question of whether religious people have a deeper need that we don't have. That's the only point I was making.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the thing is, there's no secular analog though. You know, I mean, because there really isn't anything like religion that's secular. There's no secular analog where all of your friends and all of your family and, you know, your politicians your support structure and all of there's no secular analog to religion. You know, there might be secular analogs to church, but there's no secular analog to religion. So moving away from religion is a unique experience.
Yeah, that's fair. I wonder, so maybe the one thing that's hard to ignore, though, when it comes to this question, getting back to what brought this up of feeling like atheists are more intelligent, it's hard to ignore that the most prominent religious people are so, for lack of a better word, dumb in some way. Like the vocal religious people are so much appear to be so much less intelligent than the vocal atheists or scientists or whatever. You know, like on one hand, and I'm wondering if this right or not. I mean, right or not. I'm just saying that this could be contributing to the perception because you have someone like Neil deGrasse Tyson on one end, you know, on Cosmos talking science. And just looking as intelligent as could be. And then you have, I don't know, pick your example of someone who talks religion all the time, like your Rick Perry's or your whoever it is. I mean, and maybe that's what skews it. And is it wrong though? I mean,
no, I think I actually think that, you know, for certain people, there's a giving up, right? So like you look at let's look at Michelle Bachmann and let's look at Rick Perry. Because I think that they're great examples,
rather not.
Right? Of someone who gave up. I mean, you just like when you have an answer that no matter what fucking equation you put on the board, God is the answer. What do you have? You don't have any kind of inquisitiveness anymore. Your inquisitiveness is just gone. You're essentially saying, well, I don't care what there's fucking water on Titan, you know, when there's making waves or whatever. And who gives a shit? That doesn't matter. We're the only thing that's important in this universe. So when you have a viewpoint, I think, that is super close-minded, I think that – you know, there's no way that you're going to be getting a ton of information, no matter how you cut that. But I do think that there are some people out there that we may think are stupid, but are actually playing the crowd to try to get a lot of money out of them. And I think that there are some of those people that may say some shit that we go, "Are you fucking serious? Did you really say that?" But I don't. They may not believe it.
I don't think Bill O'Reilly is in any way stupid. I think that guy is a really smart guy. I think that he.
He knows what he's doing. Fox, you know, I think too that like it's important to compare the same points on the bell curve, right? So,
sure,
you know, the vast majority of people,
maybe
on
the
both
smartest
sides
religious
that.
People are you don't hear from them. Maybe that's what you're trying to say.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that you know we don't hear from a lot of scientists, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a tiny sample. You don't hear from a lot of religious people. You hear from the vocal ones. So again, you've got a small sample. If you really wanted to look at that question in a meaningful way and draw a meaningful distinction, you have to look at the center of the bell curve. You have to look at where most people fall. But that's not what we do. Instead, we compare extreme ends of the bell curve and we say, you know, let's compare Neil deGrasse Tyson to Pat Robertson. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Okay, well, you know, who would win in a fight, Grandma or Mike Tyson? Like, well,
Mike Tyson,
you know.
Did I pick it right?
I do see what you mean with grading on the curve. And I'm wondering if it occurred to me while we were talking that maybe – I had a thought that maybe we'll put us on the same page or maybe we can agree on. I'm not sure. You talk about people who just believe something. And I understand the distinction there between thinking something and believing something. I think that is a distinction. I think that thoughts that you have now can affect beliefs you have in the future, though.
Absolutely.
So that's one point where you could say, well, you need to be thinking better things so that your beliefs will gradually change. But I do agree that you can't just say, I now believe that Elvis was a woman or something. Like, you can't do that. But I wonder if maybe – would you agree that once a religious person – enters the realm of trying to convert or argue with you or with the public in general that you should believe in God, would you then accept that they're leaving the realm of belief and sort of entering the realm of thoughts and arguments, and that it could be okay to engage them on that level and possibly be a bit disdainful of what they're doing?
Sure.
Would you agree with
that?
Yeah. Okay.
Because that makes sense.
I mean, I agree. There's a difference between someone who goes along with a belief or whatever and maybe doesn't critically think about it ever. But once you enter that realm, once we're doing battle with ideas, you know, like that's when I think you need to take responsibility. I'm going to go ahead and assign you responsibility if you're a religious person, once you start being vocal and arguing for things. That's interesting. I wouldn't have necessarily thought of that before this. So I think that your guys' conversation was, or your thoughts that you've shared really have made me think a lot. And I'm really happy with how this conversation has gone.
Any improvement is purely accidental.
Yeah,
no
kidding.
I just want to throw that out there. I think once your ideas enter the battlefield, then they're on their own.
Yeah, that's Pokemon time.
Yeah,
man.
Right? Fuck that shit. Like, I choose you, atheism.
Yeah.
Cecil and I were talking about this ahead of time because my wife isn't much of a believer, although she's much more accommodationist than I am. Like she's a, you know, everybody's got a right and we shouldn't criticize each other, flowers, peace and hugs kind of a type when it comes to these questions. And I'm generally not that way at all. But I think you can have relationships in terms of relationships with people that you're not romantically involved with. And that's important too, you know, to talk about. I think we would be terribly hamstrung if the only relationships we allowed ourselves to have were relationships with people that share the same belief set that we have. I think it's nice to be able to say, like, you know, you and I can be friends. We can agree on all these topics. We can talk about these things. We can have these commonalities of experience. And then I can also compartmentalize this part of my life. And that's something humans are really good at doing. And it's great. We can say, like, you know, we're not going to see eye to eye on this subject. So we're just going to compartmentalize this piece of our relationship. And we're not going to allow this piece of our relationship to enter into the fray. And that's one way that people can, I think, very respectfully have deep and meaningful personal relationships with others that last for years without ever having conflict there. You know, and the other way to do it, as Cecil mentioned in his conversation, was to just you can engage those conversations also very directly as long as everybody respects the other person's boundaries. You know, you can debate the ideas without engaging in ad hominem and straw men and, you know, attacking people and making somebody feel like they're less than, you know, just because you, like we said before, just because I don't think that Islam's a good idea doesn't mean that I think Muslims are a bad idea. Like, I don't have a problem with a person that I meet that's a Muslim. It's fine. Like, you're a Muslim, whatever, let's go fishing. I don't care. but if you want to talk about Islam, we're going to disagree. Like, we're going to sharply disagree. And that's cool. I just, like, you don't have to judge the individual because they have a single bad belief.
Yeah. And well, yeah, it's always going to depend, I think, on the people, of course, because I wonder if it's someone who their religion permeates so much of their life, do you think there'd be a point at which it's like, well, I just don't think we can do this. I don't know. What do you think, Cecil? I mean, if it permeated too much of another person's life, do you think there would be a point where it's you're not able to find those boundaries because there's no clean and neat kind of boundaries you can put on it?
I have a, you know, it's interesting because I have people in my life that have very different beliefs about alternative medicine, very different beliefs about politics. And, you know, it's so funny because I really do truly like these people, right, and enjoy these people, but I don't talk about those things with them. Mm. And I recognize that that's not a thing that we're ever going to agree on. And nothing I could ever say would change your mind about alternative medicine or about whether or not Obama's a terrorist or whatever. So we're just not going to talk about that. What we're going to talk about is UFC or something. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to talk about something that is so different and so far away from the things that would be a point of contention between us that because I can't bring enough energy to the conversation because I just don't care whether or not they believe in those things or not, because they're clearly going to do whatever they want anyway, and nothing I can say can change their mind.
You know, I'm very curious. Would you consider yourself more of an extrovert then, or introvert?
I don't really know those terms mean. I mean, I guess I do, but a lot of people like to think that those terms mean something. But I'm one of those people who is just like, I don't know that I think people are both no matter what.
Yeah, of course.
There's times that you're extroverted and there's time that you're introverted.
But I mean, I'm an introvert all the time. So I think that there's
– Okay. But I think that, you know, it's – the problem is that I know that I'm dealing with people – that no matter what logical arguments I lay out, they are invested in this enough that logic is not going to change what they think. So that logic just rolls off
I accept that.
Doesn't matter.
It's very weird to me though. And I think that it may have to do with flaws, but I have a personality that I think when I'm looking at what you're saying and thinking about it through my lens, it comes out differently, I think, for this reason. Because I have this discussion with my girlfriend all the time, because she's incredibly extroverted, I'm incredibly introverted. And I think what happens with me, and you can go ahead and call me a shitty person for this, what happens with me is that if someone's enough of a different belief, it's not that I hate them and say, fuck you, I'm not going to talk to you. It's that it's like, okay, what's in it for me? But at the same time, I am really introverted. I don't have very many people that I would call friends. I wonder if there's any difference there. And I don't think it's just a question of me saying like, oh, I recognize I'm never going to change their mind. I do recognize that. But there are people to where their beliefs are different enough that I will interact with them, sure. And if I bump into them, I'll be cordial and stuff. But I don't invest too much into that. And I wonder if it has more to do with simply a personality thing of like, go ahead.
I was just going to say what I think is that I wouldn't trust those people to bounce certain ideas off of to get opinions on. I would, sure, you know, like if I had cancer, let's say, I certainly wouldn't ask them.
No, of course. Hey, and I understand that.
What do you think? Yeah.
You know, it's funny too, because like people who are going to be really like, I'm thinking of like, I've never had any friends that were really religious. Hmm. Probably because there's no points of commonality.
That's what I'm kind of getting at.
I mean, I've had friends that are religious, but not like really religious, you know, like not like mm-hmm. Pat Robertson religious.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever,
you know,
yeah.
And I think part of that is just because, you know, I can't find a point of commonality with that person. But that goes to the idea of the spectrum, right? Like, you know, that there's people that I can find enough points of commonality where I can say, look, we're good on 7 out of 10 of these key issues. Like, all right, we can hang out and have a beer.
Here's the thing that I think you might be able to get into, Thomas, and this may be some sort of catch. You said you play hockey. Now, I presume you do that in some sort of league?
Yeah.
Okay, so I fence, right?
Oh,
so I do this in some sort of league, right? It's some sort of group in which we get together and we fence. Mm-hmm. And there are people in that group that I am Facebook friends with that are hidden from me because they have beliefs on things that are so fucking bonkers crazy that I'm just like, I don't have any. But when I see them and I fence with them and I hang out with them, I have no issue with them. I don't talk to them about those things. I try to avoid gun membership because that seems to be a big one that a lot of these people are really, really crazy about. They're like, yeah, you should have a I know. It's so crazy. It's like, why wouldn't you have a sword over your bed? Instead, they have these
safes. Why do you want this object that obviates your entire, like, hobby?
Yeah, they have these safes that you, like, touch, and then you get your gun out, and it's loaded or something. And it's just, like, this weird sort of hyper-vigilance that we need to have that we are so, like, out of security or whatever that we need to make sure that we constantly have a weapon nearby. Yeah. And I just don't understand it. I don't get it. And so even when I'm there and once in a while I'll make the comment, like, immediately I'll be surrounded by dozens of them being like, no, you should own guns, lots of them, strap them to your face, you know, like they clearly have a very different idea about security. And I live in downtown Chicago. You cannot get more downtown than I live, and I don't have a loaded gun in my house. Yeah. I do have a gun in my house, but it's disassembled.
You need to get one of those face holsters.
Yeah, when I get,
yeah, but that's why I brought up the extrovert introvert thing, and maybe you don't see that as meaningful, but and honestly, maybe this is just my own personal crap, like. But I think it has to do with what your priority is. And this is the discussion that I kind of have back and forth with my girlfriend, because it's not that I look at religious people and say, I hate this person, I'm never going to talk to them. That's not it. I think we're totally in agreement, except, and because I act the same way with people in my hockey league, I also do not consider myself friends with anyone in my hockey league. It's a very interesting solo existence, I guess. But
yeah.
But it has to do with your priority. I mean, my girlfriend's priority in any interaction is to find commonality, to find a friend, to have like an interaction, you know. And that's, I think me being an introvert is just, that's not my priority. Like, I hate small talk. I really don't have any interest in finding minor shreds of commonality with someone just for the sake of like having a superficial conversation that's never going to go that deep, you know. Like, that may very well just be personality things that are the difference between kind of what we're talking about here. So that could be it. I don't know. I guess I want to say, do you think that maybe, do you agree that maybe the personality thing is kind of the distinction there? Because I don't, there's nothing you've said that I disagree with in terms of, yeah, when I think of people who have certain beliefs, I don't try to engage them on those beliefs. And maybe that's important to make clear, so people don't think I'm some asshole atheist that just goes around like, no, you have to believe what I believe.
Right,
I don't, right. I do the same things. Like I avoid the topics because, you know, you want to have a pleasant time with people. You want, you know, especially when you're doing something not related to atheism, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you want to have a pleasant time. I'm the same way. But I guess for me, it just comes down to, and maybe we need to try to understand this difference with people a little more to make sure that within the atheist community, maybe we aren't really disagreeing on these questions.
Yeah, I think, you know, that there's a level at which we, you know, we do shut off those things that we don't agree with. I mean, I think back to the days in which I was courting, and now I'm not talking about my wife here. I'm talking about other, you know, clearly other girls that I had dated. If they would say something or do something that I didn't think was something I agreed with, let's say they, you know, said something really dumb or whatever, et cetera, or they, you know, said something racist or whatever, there may be something in me that may push that off to the side. You know what I mean? Like, and be like, oh, well, you know,
well
tally that up, but we're not going to totally act on that.
Well,
right,
of course,
now
there's practical. You know? I mean, there's a cold calculus that you kind of do that.
Yes.
I mean, that's totally true. I mean,
and it's funny because I still do it with people that I've known for years. You know, they'll say something and I'll be like, oh man, I totally disagree with that. Or I'll be like, oh gosh, that's a thing that I just can't. And I'll just change the subject. I'll just change the topic because I think that, you know, like I think more than anything, it's not that I'm non-confrontational because I clearly have a lot of confrontation that I'm willing to go into. But I think that at some point there's sometimes you just give up. You're just like, you know what? I just don't want to have this conversation. I just don't want to fight this fight. I don't want to have this moment where I'm arguing about this and you're arguing about that. I just want to watch fucking whatever movies on TV or whatever.
Yeah, but
I don't want to have to talk about the.
I agree. But the only thing for me, I mean, I think of my relationship with my dad, and it's pretty much that. Like it's oddly enough, he's an atheist, but he's fucking hardcore conservative, and his life revolves around Fox News, and it's just. I do have to do that. And for, you know, to get into to some personal shit, there's also aspects of how he brought us up and how he raised us and how big problems that I have with him that I just will never be able to talk to him about. And it's things like those. When you add to that list of things you can't talk about, I just think that diminishes things in some way to the point where I don't talk to my dad. Like, we just don't talk. And there's definitely a shades of gray. I mean, if it was just one little thing, of course it would.
Sure.
But the more you add to that list of things of like, well, I guess I have to avoid this subject. Well, I guess I have to avoid this subject. At a certain point, it's like, well, reality dictates that I just don't think of him when I think I need to talk to somebody or, it just doesn't. He's just not on the list because of these
things. Then I think, it goes the other way too with certain people. Like, clearly the person who I talk to at work, who I think is very intelligent, I think that, I have a lot more in common with him than just one thing that's different between us, because, both of us, I think, are humanists. He's a religious humanist, but I'm a secular humanist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
that's
definitely good common ground.
There's a huge common ground between us. Clearly this is a guy who cares about, sustaining our planet. He's a guy who cares about caring for the poor and the people that are underprivileged. He's a guy who has good ideas about all these things. They may be grounded in some sort of religious ideology, but he clearly has thoughts on these things that are intelligent and worthwhile, and they're grounded in humanism first, and then they might have some sort of, paint over them that is the religious ideology. But they all have that humanist tie, and I think that, there's ways in which to find that commonality with other people, even when they do share these very, very different viewpoints with you.
Yeah, I agree. But the two things I'm saying is, one, you can run out of commonality, of course. I mean, it gets to the point where it's just not meaningful commonality. You both wear shirts. Like, it's like, okay.
I have two legs as well.
You're going to run out of that. And then I guess the only other point I would be making, and I think we're pretty much in agreement here, is that I think for me, I'm not looking, because of my extreme introversion, I'm not really looking for more people to be friends with at any cost. It's like, if someone comes along who I really click with and we agree on a lot, not everything, but we can have good conversations, I will befriend that person. But I think that it sort of has to do with, like I said, with my girlfriend too, it's like she makes way more friends because her priorities are different because of her personality. Yeah. And I think that factors in there. That's interesting.
Sure.
Wow, that's fascinating. Okay, well, I think we can go ahead and tie this out here and
sounds great.
Put a bow on it and say this was a fantastic discussion. And thank you guys so much for being here.
Yeah, it was our pleasure. Absolutely.
Did I lose you again, or was that just not funny?
No.
Okay.
Not funny. No, it just wasn't hilarious.
Yeah. Can you? I need to hear some sort of negative sound when something's not funny so that I know. I need Can you give me a good trumpet
sad
sound?
Sad trombone.
Yeah. That way I'll know it's not the connection. It's actually just my terrible jokes. Okay.